Amen. Turn your Bibles with me real quick to Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16. For the sake of time this morning, I'm not going to read the scripture, but we'll look at a couple of points in it because we still have a little bit more to do this morning that I want to be sure that we get to. It's a very special day on many accounts. So Romans chapter 16, we're going to look at verses 1 through 16. How many of you guys have ever heard of the term end game? End game. What's your end game, right? End game. It means what you're hoping to accomplish, where you want to go, how you want to do or complete a specific task. End game is always important, right? When you have a vision, when you have something you want to do. Without an end game, there's no focus or there's no vision. And a lot of times when we don't have an end game in mind, if we continue to move forward, our work and our labor will be for naught. But when we do have an end game in mind, we oftentimes put in a lot more effort and determination in what we want to do. Amen? Because we know the process and we know the steps and we know what we want to get to. We have an end game here at Grace Church. We've talked about it. Our end game is to make disciples of Jesus Christ, amen, for the transformation of the world. That is the end game, to make disciples of Jesus Christ. The specific end game for Grace Church is Colossians 1:28, which we looked at over the summer, and taking that next step, and that is to have no excuses in presenting everyone perfect in Christ, amen, to make sure that every single person, man, woman, or child in Southern York County that we're responsible for as Grace Church would know the gospel of Jesus Christ and have every single opportunity to accept Him as Lord and Savior. Amen? Amen? Amen. And then move forward in sanctification as well, growing so that way they are a completed Christian. Well, each Christian, each and every one of us personally also, if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, should have an end game in mind. Should have an end game in mind. And that end game is very simple. That end game can be found in Matthew 25, verses 21 through 23. And I don't know about you, but the end game that I have in mind is to go through this life, to serve Christ, and one day hear those words, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." Amen? Is that your end game this morning as a child of God? Is that your end game? Do you want to hear those words said by your Savior, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." Amen. Because listen to me, church, one day we are all going to stand before our Lord and Savior. One day we are all going to have to give an account for what we have done here on earth with what God has blessed us with. Amen. And, you know, it's interesting. We have to always have that end game in mind as we serve Him. As we serve Him. In Romans chapter 16, verses 1 through 16, it's a passage that oftentimes gets overlooked. We have a wonderful book, the book of Romans, that gives us most of our New Testament doctrine for the church. And oftentimes, the last chapter is seen as insignificant. But we need to remember that everything that is in Scripture is there for a reason. Amen? Everything in there can be applied to our life. And so when we see here the Apostle Paul coming to the end of the book, like some of his other epistles that he's written, it's almost like he's giving the credits to the end of a television show, where all of these names are listed, where all of these things are recognized as to who did what to put together the production. That's what we get at the end of Romans 16. We see the Apostle Paul starting to say, "Salute this person. Give thanks to this person. Let this person know that I'm praying for them. Let this person know that they're appreciated." He begins to give a long list of people within the greater Roman church that he is writing to that he wants to recognize and send his greetings to. People that have contributed to the mission of the church. And as you read that text, I'm going to trust you to take a moment either later on today or later on this week, to run through those 16 verses. And look, we'll look at a couple of them, but look, because everything you see listed here, ladies and gentlemen, listen to me, just because it's in the Bible doesn't mean that these people did anything extraordinary. Doesn't mean that they did anything that was super superlative and special and due recognition. What you are reading that these people have done are commonplace things that the Church of Jesus Christ should always be doing. And what made it extraordinary, what made it special, is that they did it faithfully. And they did it obediently. They didn't let anything get in their way. So my hope is, as we look at a couple of these verses this morning, we can glean what others have done before us within the church. We can recognize the accomplishments, and we can take it and we can apply it to our lives, so that way we too can take that next step maybe in our faith of being good and faithful in what God has called us to do here at Grace Church and in Southern York County and beyond. Amen, church? Amen? Amen. Amen. So we can meet that end goal in our lives. Look with me at verses 1 and 2. The first thing I want you to see about a good and faithful servant is that a good and faithful servant is a servant to the church. A good and faithful servant is a servant to the church. It says, let me grab it. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is in Cenchrea, that ye receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she had need of you, that she hath been a succorer of many, and of myself also. That big word there just means a great help. But what we see here is Phoebe is called out. She's the first one that is mentioned here by the Apostle Paul. And notice how Paul classifies her to the people in Rome. He says, a servant of the church. A servant of the church. She is known by Paul and to many others as a servant. Someone who helps. Someone who assists. Someone who, if you call them a servant, begs the question that they have a master. And it is very clear that Phoebe's master was the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, some will try to say that she was a deacon within the church. I don't think it really matters whether she was or whether she wasn't. But what we do see is that she was involved in the life and ministry of the church. She purposely, willfully, and sacrificially gave of her time, talents, and treasure to the local church at Cenchrea. That's what it says. And so the first thing that you and I need to glean from this is that we must understand that First off, if we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are in the classification of Phoebe as well. We are a servant of Jesus Christ. Amen? He has saved us. He bought us with a price. He took us off of the slave block, and His precious blood purchased us, and He made us His own. We are in debt, a debt that we could never pay to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we say we love you, we want to serve you by going unto Him and serving Him in whatever way He wants us to, whether it be for His kingdom, whether it be for His people. We are servants. Our lives are not our own. And we do it out of gratitude. And listen to me, church. It says that we do it through the institution that He has established, which is the church, which is the local church. Listen to me. That's what the local church was called to do. Yes, I know there are many para-ministries. I know that there are many things outside of the local church. Listen to me, did you know that the reason why there are so many ministries that are outside of the local church that exist today is because the local church for so long has not done its job and has not been faithful in it? If the church was faithful to the calling that Jesus Christ has put on their life, then all of these extra things, whether they're secular or parachurch, would exist in and through the church. I'm not confirming nor denying whether you should be in or involved. I'm just telling you, it's a lack of faithfulness by the church, and that's why I see so many outside of the church. But it is this institution that He has established. It is this body that He has directed. Because after all, ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. The local church is the hope of the world. It is through us that people know Christ. It is through us that people see Christ. It is through us that people hear the gospel. It is the hope of the world, and we are to be a good and faithful servant to the church for the gospel to be accomplished. That's what Phoebe was known as. That's what Phoebe was getting credit for, her sacrificial and unconditional and purposeful and willful giving to her local church. She was a servant. Second, look with me in verse 3. Not only is a good and faithful servant is a servant of the church, but a good and faithful servant is a full-time Christian. A good and faithful servant is a full-time Christian. Look at verse 3. It says, "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus." Now, these two individuals are mentioned more than just in Romans. These two individuals are also mentioned in other of Paul's epistles. These are people who were doing the work of the Lord in many different areas. And we know that through Acts chapter 18, they were tent makers. They were workers in many different capacities. And we also know that at some point they were run out of Rome, where Paul is greeting them right now in the book that he's writing. They were eventually run out of Rome by Claudius, the emperor. But what we see here and what we can deduce from all the things that we hear of Aquila and Priscilla is we see that these two people had a heart for the ministry of Christ, that their entire lives were dedicated and given to furthering the kingdom and spreading the gospel. It was their life. They loved the church. They had a heart for the church. They were active within the church. We see all of that from the scriptures that we can glean within the New Testament. And listen, a lot of times we look at Aquila and Priscilla and the information that's given to us about them, and we assume that because they were all these things and so poured in and so much a part of the church, there are some people that assume that they were pastors or they were overseers. Or they were bishops, or they had a specific role within the church. In other words, they were in, quote-unquote, full-time ministry. But folks, there's no evidence that they held a specific position. There's no evidence that they were on any paid staff at any local church. What we do know and what we can deduce is that they were laity. They were you amongst the congregation. They were members of the church. But they were Christians full-time. They weren't just Christians on Sunday morning. They weren't just Christians during Bible study. They weren't just Christians when there was a special event. They were Christians full-time. And ladies and gentlemen, in our modern world today, we need Christians who are full-time and not just something that's done on Sunday mornings. Amen. Amen. We need people who are going and doing the work of the church all the time, everywhere, not just within the four walls of this building. Amen. But going forward. You know, we oftentimes have gotten ourselves in trouble because of that. We oftentimes, because we think our time is our own as believers, that we relegate the things of the church only to people who are on staff. Or only to the pastor, right? After all, that's what we pay the pastor to do, right? To do ministry. I'm glad that that idea doesn't necessarily exist as much in this church as it does in others. But you see, folks, a lot of times we separate between clergy and laity. And what we need to know and understand, and praise God, I see this more in this church than I have in any other church, is that the responsibility of ministry is not just the pastors or the paid staff, but it is all of ours. Amen. It is all of ours. Do you know, for a church our size, our paid staff is very small. Very small. Do you know that every single person that you see up here leading worship from week to week, we don't have paid worship leaders. They serve, amen? They serve. They prepare and they give their time and their talents and their treasures. You know, the people that serve in junior church, not paid. People who serve in big, not paid. The people who serve in nursery, not paid. People who do tech, not paid. Your trustees, not paid. There are many, many hours. Sometimes I think Travis probably works more hours, and I see Travis serving in the church more than he does at his other job. In fact, it reminds me of that sometimes. It says if it wasn't for the job he gets paid for. No. But folks, that's what it's all about, is serving and being a full-time Christian and knowing that it is our responsibility as a church. Listen, it's not a pastor that grows the church. It's the people of the church that grow the church. In every single way, I should be interchangeable. You should be able to have another pastor come in here, and this congregation should be able to continue to do the work and continue to go beyond Southern York County and preach the word and see people's lives getting changed and souls being saved. It remains here. And that's why, I love the church. I love that I can take 2 weeks off because I still had some time off to use, and a Matt Warner can fill in, and a Pastor Peter Mayer can fill in, and others can fill in and bring the word without me here. That's so great. That's so great. Y'all are a special congregation, and you get this aspect of it. The ministry of the church relies on the laity and not the pastor. No such thing as a part-time Christians, but we're all full-time in the work of Christ. I got to move on. Look at verse 4. A good and faithful servant enables and assists in the ministry of the gospel. A good and faithful servant enables and assists in the ministry of the gospel. Look at verse 4. It says, and they risked their lives for me. Not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. Now listen to me, it's not necessarily an argument that Paul was used mightily by the Lord. We know that he was used mightily by the Lord. But listen, Paul was only able to do the work and be effective in his work because of the saints that assisted him. And listen to me, if you're here this morning and you're saved, you fit in that category too. Not only are you a servant, but you're a saint. Right? Don't believe what the Catholic Church tells you about you got to wait a certain amount of years after you're dead and go through certain rituals and get paid certain things. No. You achieve sainthood status the moment you cried out to Jesus to save you. You're a saint. You're a saint. So listen to me. It's the work of the saints that enables Paul to do and be effective what he had to do. The text says that all the Gentile churches were grateful for Aquila and Priscilla because they helped Paul in a very unique way. They enabled him to minister to others. In other words, what we see here, if they did not serve, Paul would not have been able to effectively minister. Listen to me, church. When you serve in the local church, when you serve the body of Christ, you may not always get to be the leader. You may not always get to be the person that is in charge, but sometimes you have to be the worker that's behind the scenes. Sometimes you got to be the one that's enabling and assisting others to move forward and to do great things. You got to be the ones that put people and things into places. And listen to me, there's a lot of people within our local congregation, amen, that serve silently behind the scenes. There are many people within our church that do so without any recognition. One of the most overlooked group of people, of servants in our church, is your trustees. Your trustees. If you're a part of the board of trustees, stand up. Travis with his gout stands up. Wonderful. Thank you, Travis. You're a part of the trustees. Amen. Listen, folks, they do so much for this church that keeps it running behind the scenes. You know who else does a lot for us? Your tech team. Your tech team. It's the whole reason why I can stand up here and preach. It's the whole reason why you got stuff. Every single week, Greg is putting together slideshows. I just threw a bomb at the tech team earlier this week and said, we're doing this worship conference on about a week and a half notice, and the tech team stepped up just like that, and it's filled, and everything's ready for this extracurricular event next week. You got people who serve in the background that the only way you notice that they're serving is when something goes wrong, but they never get praised for when everything gets right. Folks, people who serve in the background, praise God for our nursery people, amen? Come on! Come on, we love our kids, and all kids of all ages are welcome in this sanctuary. But praise God, when there is a kid that gets cranky and irritated and won't stay still, there's a place for them to go and be loved on in Jesus. Amen? And there are people in there. Praise God for Miss Carol Oliger, who almost every single Sunday comes in here and sets up that cafe and makes sure that you have some good cookies and stuff to eat and coffee to drink. Amen. Thank God for the men and women who lead Bible studies in small groups. Thank God for the people who are in with the kids once a month in smalls. Thank God for the people who show up to big. Oh, my goodness. Folks, there are so many people who work behind the scenes that we don't even have enough time sometimes to make everything appear to the congregation and make you aware of. But Wednesday mornings, my goodness, Bible Blast. You got Bob who's leading Bible Blast. With everybody else who's a part of Bible Blast, Nancy and Linda. Listen to me, folks. You know that Bible Blast ministry is growing like crazy? We're up to 13 kids. We seriously got to buy this van, all right? We have outgrown the one van, and now we got to go to the other. We're getting kids from the schools who don't go to church hardly anywhere else. And on Wednesday mornings, for an hour and a half, they get to hear the gospel. They're retaining scripture. They're memorizing scripture. They're learning about Jesus. It's phenomenal. Why? It ain't because of this pastor. It's because of the heart of a congregation that is faithfully serving. Faithfully serving. You know, it's phenomenal what is going on. It's phenomenal what is going on. You know, those kids at Bible Blast just amaze me. Amaze me. We had a review week last week, and we thought, you know, sometimes you think, we have this one kid, Anthony, he falls asleep sometimes. But at the end of the, that was last year when Bible Blast was at the end of the day. And we think, oh, he's not retaining anything. But when it came to the reviews at the end of the year, what happened, Bob? He was running off Bible verses like this. Kid must learn by osmosis. We got to tell his teacher that in school. He knew them. We had a review week last week. They know them. And I remember Linda Burrows and Linda Wilcox and Nancy, they're sitting around the table. We're like, we cannot believe how much these kids are retaining. Praise God, because they wouldn't get it if we weren't faithful in doing what God has called us to do. They wouldn't get it in any other place. Amen. Amen. Folks, this is stuff to get excited about. And that's why Paul is being diligent in listing these people, these good and faithful servants, with the end game in mind. He wants to make sure they know they're appreciated. Did you know that most of these people that Paul is calling out, they were probably the ones that they're just like you, a part of the local church, doing the ministry, sometimes wondering if they're having any impact or effect, sometimes wondering if they're ever going to get recognition or ever get appreciated, but they're not doing it for them, they're doing it out for the heart of the Lord. And then imagine the day that Paul writes this letter to the churches at Rome, and someone comes in there, and they stand up in front of the congregation, and they read this long doctrinal statement in the book of Romans, and they're gaining all this truth, and then it gets to the end. And all of a sudden, all these people, I love how the King James says, salute them. Kind of a tie-in with Veterans Day, right? Salute them. Give them recognition. And they hear their name called. And it's just that little glimpse sometimes, that little bit of thank you, that little bit of recognition that keeps us going. Amen? I know that because every single pastor appreciation card I've ever gotten is in a file in my office. And there are some days and there are some weeks that I've got to dig into that and I got to read and I got to remember what it is that God has called me to do. Your words have such a tremendous effect of encouragement and uplifting and reminding and accountability. I can't imagine if it does that for me, what it does for you. I can't imagine what it did for the people here in Rome to hear these, to hear their names called, to call them out and say, these are good and faithful people. Salute them. Give them recognition that they deserve. They continue to do the work of the church. Last but not least, a good and faithful servant perseveres. Look at verses 6 and 10. It says, greet Mary who worked very hard for you. I love that very basic thing. I love that, right? Greet Mary who worked very hard for you. And then verse 12, greet Tryphena and Tryphosa. How would you like to have those names? Greet Tryphena and Tryphosa. Real quick sidetrack about names like that. I come from a family where my father was one of six, and he had four sisters, and their names are Frida and Glida and Winona. How'd you like those names? That's what happens when you grow up in southwestern Virginia in the Hicks. Anyway, I threatened my wife I wanted to pass some of those names along. No. Anyway, but you see, Tryphena and Tryphosa, those women who worked hard in the Lord, greet my dear friend Persis, another woman who has worked very hard in the Lord. Can I point out something real quick? In a day and age where the church oftentimes gets bashed as being chauvinistic, and we don't care for women, or we don't lift up women, can I show you that that's not true? The Apostle Paul recognizes the work and the ministry and the faithful service of the church, of the women in the church. And listen to me, if it were not for women in the church today, the church would not be where it is today. Because we as men a lot of times have fallen down on the job and fallen down on our responsibilities, and we're not leading like we should and serving like we should. And praise the Lord for women who have faithfully stepped forward to fulfill those roles. Even when they don't have to, they do it. Amen? How many of you guys are here today because your mom made sure you were in church growing up? Not necessarily your dad, but your mom. Praise God. Listen to me. And if you're here today and you are a dad who is in church that makes sure their kids are in church, you should be commended because of the culture and era in which we live that is not looked upon well. You are doing something extraordinary as a man. You are being good and faithful servants to your family and your children. Thank you. Thank you. But what we see here is they worked hard. It says they labored. Listen to me, church work is not always going to be fun. It's not always going to be easy. It's exactly what it says. They worked hard. They labored. Right? It's not always going to be convenient. It's not always going to be worth it. But I am so glad for you. I'm so glad for the people in Rome who did not quit, but rather persevered through tough times. Who kept going when things got rocky, who kept going when things weren't ideal, who kept going when things weren't convenient. I praise God for that. It's just like Jesus in the cross, right? He knew what he had to do. He knew what he was sent to do. And it wasn't ugly, or it wasn't pretty, it wasn't well received, but he kept going. Scripture says he put his face towards Jerusalem. He knew the cross he had to bear so that way he could accomplish salvation for you and I. And sometimes the ministry work of the church is just that ugly and gruesome. Come to a trustee meeting sometime. They ain't always the fun stuff, right? Come to a council meeting sometimes. It ain't always glorious stuff that we're talking about. But you get into the nuts and bolts, and it can be discouraging. It can put you down. It can wear you out. But praise God for people who are faithful and endure for the sake of the gospel. You know, some of the greatest words I hear as a pastor is when someone comes up to me, and it's great. I've heard these words probably because they know where I'm at, but you got Pastor Harris over here, retired. You got Pastor Peter Mayer, and they've always they've said to me, Pastor, let me know how I can serve. That's some of the greatest words you can hear as a pastor. Just let me know how you want me to serve. Man, you give me a free license to put you wherever I... But listen to me, folks, the greatest ability is availability, amen? And you may not think you're gifted, but when you put your heart and your mind into something and you serve in those areas, listen to me, it is a blessing to the church and to the people, and you persevere through it, even when it's not always ideal. You know, I hear some people and they say, well, Pastor, I'm up there in age now, or Pastor, well, I served in here. Sometimes I hear people that, you know, they've taken a break from ministry and they've gotten out of some things, and I ask them maybe if they can consider serving in a certain area. And it's funny, you hear the words, well, Pastor, I've served my time. It's like they've been through a prison sentence. I've served my time. I got some bad news for you, church. If that's your mentality, You have not served your time until the Lord calls you home. Caleb was a worship leader for the people of Israel at the age of 92. You hear that, Ron Taylor? Where's JB? 92! You are never. They remind us that all the time at the meetings we got to go to. There's no such thing as a retired pastor. Because you're a 100% full-time Christian, and you're always at work for the Lord. Amen? Amen. Amen. So, the reason why I have all of this together is, and I wanted to say these things, and I'm going to try to wrap it up here, and we will have a final song, but we're not going to end the service the way we normally do. Because I wanted to kind of tie all of this in with being a good and faithful servant, and the recognition of veterans, and recognition of people who serve our country, and the recognition of people who serve within our church faithfully. And listen, if you're new here and you've been coming and you're having trouble getting connected or having trouble getting involved or don't know necessarily where you fit in, the best thing I can tell you is just pick something and go and serve. Pick something and go and serve. One of the phenomenal things next Sunday evening is Helping Hand, right? And you want to know, is serving alongside brothers and sisters doing the work of the church? And the reason I say that to you is because if you don't feel connected, you will get connected when you serve alongside your brothers and sisters doing the work of the Lord. You will get connected. You will. It's just like people, almost everybody that I've ever heard that says they've served in the armed forces, whether overseas or here, you get that band of brothers mentality, right, John? Right? And you serve with those men and women, right? You serve with them side by side, and you create a bond like never before. Why? Because you're in the trenches doing what you've been called to do. And you learn to love one another, you learn to appreciate one another, you learn to connect with one another, and you get that bond. It's the same way with the work of the Lord. When we as a church come together and we serve together, there's relationships that are formed. There's bonds that are made. And so if you're having trouble connecting, the only thing I can tell you is get involved in service. Because after all, if you're a part of the church, that's what you're supposed to do. God didn't call us to be bumps on a log and soak everything in and be fat turkeys to be slaughtered one day. He called us in to service. So with that, we've got some recognitions we want to do this morning. Because this is how recognition should be done. We've recognized our veterans. I hope you feel appreciated by some of the things I've said in the sermon, but there's something specific I want to do this morning in recognition. We have a couple in our congregation who are here for the final time this Sunday. They're getting ready to relocate. They're moving to South Carolina. And we are going to miss them dearly. They are good and faithful members of the body of Christ. And whenever you leave a church because of moving or whatever else, you should always have an opportunity for the congregation to say goodbye to you and bless you and pray for you and send you off. But their last Sunday is today, and that's Miss Suzette and Mr. Trent Bensel. Can you guys come up here this morning? Hold on. Trent has faithfully served on SPRC. He's faithfully served as our council chair, and most recently, they both, for the last 3 years, 2 years, 2 years, have taken care of most of the landscaping needs. Lawn care, yeah. I'm not reading your obituary. They have living the retired life, and they get to move on. Guys, up here. Up here. Come on, Suzette. Come on. Now, they're moving to South Carolina. They leave next week, Saturday, Sunday. And as part of my pastoral responsibilities, I have to help them transition. So about 7 weeks, I'm going to be down in South Carolina trying to help them find a church. That don't work. But we love you guys, and we thank you for your years membership here as the body of Christ, for the many people that you've blessed, including me. And we wish you all the best in South Carolina, and we pray you find a congregation to connect to down there and serve the Lord and be a blessing to them. We'll just attend online. I did tell them we have I did tell them we have online giving and we have live streaming. They have no need to find another church. No. And one day, if you ever want to start a Grace Church plant in South Carolina, I'm all for it. Let me know. So, absolutely. We love you guys. Anything you guys want to say to the congregation? Trent, come on.
You know, I think we all have special places in our heart that we hold very dear to us. It shows the beauty of God's creation. And for us, I mean, they stretch from the Rocky Mountains of Colorado and Montana the whole way down through West Virginia and, you know, out to the Turks and Caicos Islands. But there's a special place here. And I want to thank for 17 years we've been coming here. Thanks for making it special. And we see the beauty of creation in every one of you. And so God bless you. Thank you so much. We'll probably be back at Easter. My family's still here, so we'll be up from time to time. But we love you all. Thanks so much.
So as the worship team comes back up, don't go away. As the worship team comes back up and gets ready to lead us in a final song today, we're going to lay hands and pray over you guys and send you out. And then we're going to have you at the back with me to receive people so that way they can say their goodbyes then as well. But we're going to miss you guys. Will you, if you want to, you can come up and you can lay a hand, or if you just want to stretch a hand from here, it's up to you. But give you a moment. Huh? Yeah, go ahead. Whenever you're ready. Heavenly Father, we again thank you and praise you so much for who you are and what you have done. Lord, we thank you for what you even do in us and through us. Lord, we thank you for your faithful servants, Trent and Suzette. We thank you, Lord, for the blessing that they have been to Grace Church for 17 years. We thank you, Lord, for how you have moved and worked through them in fulfilling the mission that you have called us to. Lord, we thank you for the example their family is to so many people. And Father, we now send them out as they get ready to start a new chapter in their lives. As they move to South Carolina, Lord, we pray that everything would go smoothly, Lord. We know that you have gone ahead of them and that you will be with them every step of the way. We pray, Lord, that you would guide and direct their steps, Lord, that you would lead them to the local church that they are to connect with, that they are to serve in, that they are to be a blessing to further your gospel in the community where they will live. And Father, we pray that they would have safety and, Lord, peace. Peace that passes all understanding. We thank you, Lord, for who they are. We thank you, Lord, for what they have done. We thank you, Lord, for ultimately that we have them as brothers and sisters in Christ. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. You just bow your heads in prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Listen, I know that the sermon was a little different today, and the service was a little different today. The sermon was more so for a church audience, but the reason I say it was more so for a church audience because you can't be a servant of God unless first you're saved. But I also want you to understand here this morning, if you are saved, there's no amount of work that you can do in order to be God's servant without first accepting his Son, Jesus Christ. So if you're here today, and there's not a time in which you know, in which you have laid down your life and you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, please come and see me after the service. Because I want you to, at one point, when you take your last breath, to be able to stand before the Lord and hear those words. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Church, if you are saved here this morning, I want you to remember something about that passage. Not everybody hears those words, well, good. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. It's only reserved for those who do a good job. Not saying you won't be saved, but it's only reserved for those who do a good job. So if you're here this morning and you're saved, Does your life reflect that of a good and faithful servant? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your love and your mercy and your grace. Lord, we thank you that you have not only saved us, but you have called us and you desire to use us for the upbuilding and edification of your kingdom. Lord, I pray here today that if there is one that does not know you as Lord and Savior, that today would be the day they recognize their need for you and they would cry out to you for salvation. And Lord, for those who are here today as believers, I pray, Father, that we would examine our lives according to your word. And Lord, where the Holy Spirit has led and convicted, Lord, I pray that we would make the necessary changes with the end game in mind to hear those words, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." We thank you, Lord, for your love which enables us to serve. We thank you, Lord, for your grace which enables us to be a witness unto you. May we take that with us as we leave. For your honor and for your glory, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and all of God's people said, amen.